Praise God. It's so good to be in the house tonight. So good to have heard the gospel already preached through these testimonies, through the worship, through the song. And his presence is here. Let's just pray that God would stir the hearts of anyone who hasn't come home to come home tonight, to come all the way into what God has for them. Amen. Father, the next few minutes as we wrap this up and as we open up these altars for an invitation to come back home, God, I pray, Father, that you would do what only you can do. The Word of God says salvation belongs to the Lord. You are the God of our salvation. You are the one who makes a way even where there seems to be none. God, you're able to bring the backslider home. You're able to break the chains and the bondages and the addictions, dear God, that hold people captivated in this world and set them free tonight. Set them free like we sang this evening. I am free to live for you. Father, set people free to live for you tonight. And we will glorify your name because it's your work and your will and your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I always struggle with titles for messages, especially a short message like tonight. I was going to title it, It's Time to Head Home, but that may empty out the place and you may misunderstand. So I just changed the wording a little bit and I'll just call it, It's Time to Come Back Home. It's time to come back home. Luke 15, you don't have to look it up for the sake of time. Luke 15. Verse 1 says, then drew near unto him, unto Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2 says, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Jesus is standing before a crowd of two extremes, the publicans and the sinners in one place, and the Pharisees and Sadducees, which are the religious folk of the day, on the other hand. He has two extremes, and I guess everyone in between is there as well. Spectators, curious onlookers, just because of what this man is teaching. And Jesus begins to share with them a parable of two sons. In verse 11, he begins to share all the way through the end of that chapter about two sons, one of them older than the other, and the younger asks the father for his share of the inheritance, ends up leaving home, wasting it, and we call him the prodigal son because he lives a wasteful life. And reaching the end of his rope, as we heard this morning, and coming to the end of himself and saying, you know what, the servants of my dad eat better at home than what I'm eating right here with the swine and with the pigs. So he ends up saying, I'm going to head back home. And then when he comes back home, the father runs to him, embraces him, throws himself on top of him, and just begins to weep and cry and rejoice because his son, which was lost, is now found. His son, which was dead, is now alive. And he says, strike up the band, bring out the fattened calf, and let's have a feast and a party. Put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet. And he strikes up a party. He begins a celebration because his son came back. And the older brother hears the party going on, but he stays outside. He gets upset because of all this commotion. He asks the servant what's going on. They tell him the story, and the dad comes out to meet his older son and says, what's going on? Why aren't you coming in to celebrate? And he says, hey, your son wasted his life on prostitutes and just wild living, and now you're celebrating him. I always stayed here. I've been working for you, sweating in the field, and you haven't even sacrificed a little lamb for me, and I resent what you're doing. And the father tells him and says, listen, all I have in the father's house belongs to you. Everything I have was yours for the asking. It's necessary that you come in. And he invites him into the house. I'm here to reach out in the name of Jesus to both companies tonight, the religious and the rebellious, to those who find themselves on either extreme of the spectrum. God is inviting you to come back home. He reaches out to the prodigal and he says, it's time to come back home. I long for you. I love you. I paid a price for you on Calvary. It's time to come home. And he reaches out to the religious folk, to those who are resentful handful to those who think they got it all together. And he says, it's time to come home. I have so much for you. I want you to experience this joy that everyone is singing about, everyone is testifying about. It's time to come home. It doesn't matter how far you feel or how close you feel. It doesn't matter if you're focusing on your failures and everything you've done, your frailties, your weaknesses. It seems like everything you've touched has come to naught. Your investments have failed you. Your relationships have failed you. You may feel like that prodigal who just went out and wasted it all. And you feel and you hear a voice saying, it's not for you to come back. You're not worthy to be a son. You should just move far away from the Father's heart. Move away from him. You're not worthy to come back. But tonight, the Father reaches out to you in his love and mercy and says, there is a place for you in the Father's house. He has never occupied it with anyone else. It's for you and you alone. And he waits for you to just make that move to come back to where he has always intentioned you to be, the Father's house. You may feel that you deserve merit and that you've never failed him, that you've been walking right and you've been walking upright. You've been an abider of the law. You haven't been given in to lust and adultery and fornication and drugs and addiction. And you may feel that you've got it all together. My friends, it's not by your righteousness that we come into the kingdom of God. It's by his stripes that we are healed. It's by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary that we come. It's because of what he did, not because of what we do. It doesn't matter how far you are or how close you think you are. The invitation is the same. You may be depressed. You may be despondent. You may be distinguished. You may think yourself worthy of praise and accolades. But the invitation is the same. Come home to the Father's house. You may say, I'm no longer worthy. You may say, I work for you and I am worthy. You may feel you're in poverty, or you may feel you're enjoying prosperity. It doesn't matter if you have a little or you have a lot. God is inviting you to come back home, where you can have everything that the Father has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter where you are in this life. You may be feeding with the swine, or you may have servants at your disposal. God is still inviting you to come back home. You see, the religious crowd may have seen his parable as an indictment of their religious life. The sinners saw this parable as an invitation. But much more than an indictment or an invitation, this parable is an illustration of the Father's heart. The Father's love for you. Firstly, it's determined to reach you wherever you are. Secondly, it drops everything to receive you as you are. And thirdly, it delights in restoring you to what you should be. He is determined to reach you, my folks, my friends. He'll move heaven and earth to reach you. He'll allow you to come to the end of your road or the end of your rope to get your attention. He'll remove friends and followers. Your Facebook and your Twitter account won't look like it used to look, so that you could look to him as the only friend that can come to your rescue. And you could become a follower of him. Amen? He'll orchestrate your life. And it's not because he's mad at you, it's because he loves you. He'll orchestrate even trials and hardships in your life so that you can look up and cry out to him. You may be here tonight wondering, what in the world is going on with me? Why am I battling such opposition? Why doesn't anything come out the way I expected it to come out? And it's always been God knocking at your door, saying, hello, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and I'm offering it to you. He'll allow you to get to the end of yourself and feel the emptiness inside. He'll allow you to feel, experience the pleasures of this life and come out empty and come out, is this all that life has to offer? Is this what it's all about? And that emptiness, again, is God's hand reaching out to you because he's determined to reach you where you are. He will allow storms to come into your life so that you can look for shelter. He will allow fires to come into your life so that you can cry out for help. He will allow suffering and hardship and people to abandon you so that you can look to Him and say, God, what is going on? Do you have a purpose for my life? Do you have a plan for my life? And His answer is, yes, I am reaching out to you right now. I am determined to reach you. I paid a high price on Calvary. I sent my only Son to shed His blood for your sins and for your evil. I have sent Him to pay the price that you deserve to take because of your rebellion against me. And I am too in to this commitment to let you go and to let you go on your own way. I will do whatever I have to do to reach you. It's not a happenstance that you're here tonight. It's not an accident that you're here. It's God's divine power and love reaching out to you because He's determined to reach you and call you back into His house. He's determined to do whatever it takes. There have been times in my life where He'll break my car down just so He could speak to me. And I'll say, what is going on? Sometimes He'll take me far away into the mission field to get my attention to let me know how much I need Him. Because we can get into this mode where we think we've got it all together. Where we start feeling like the older son, like I've done this long enough. I've been working for you. I'm an elder in Times Square Church. I know how to do this. And then all of a sudden God orchestrates and puts you in a place where you say, oh my God, I need you. I've got nothing. I'm just as bankrupt. You see, this older son didn't see how bankrupt he was, how empty he was, how filthy his own rags were. He looked at his younger brother and says, now that man is filthy. Now that man has not lived righteously, but he couldn't see the own filthiness of his own rags. And God will orchestrate your life, put you in situations where you will have to cry out to Him because He loves you and He's knocking on the door of your heart and He's saying, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. No more running. No more trying to do this in your own strength. No more trying to get it together. He's not waiting for you to get it together. He wants to make the miracle happen in your life. Just come home. Come home. And He will work that miracle in your life. The love of God, the love of this Father drops everything to receive you right where you are. He's not expecting you to clean up your act to come. The Father could have said, you know what, I see Him at a distance, but let him come in His own strength. Let's see how far, let's see how close He can come to me. Let me hear Him cry out his apology and His repentance before me. Let me make Him suffer for a little while, you know? Let me do this so that He could learn what it is to feel pain in your heart. You know, after all, He deserves it. He abandoned the house. He went His own way. He wanted to do it His own way. So let Him suffer a little bit. My friends, He meets you right where you are. Just the turning of your heart. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's as close as the mention of His name. You cry out, Jesus, I need you. He is there on the double. He is there on the spot to embrace you. He sees your heart. He's waiting for you to turn to Him and just say, Jesus, I need you. That's all. That's all He's waiting for. And He runs to you and He throws Himself on top of you and He embraces you and He weeps with you. It's not about how filthy your rags are. It doesn't matter. He embraces you. He paid the price for your sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could experience the righteousness of God. So it doesn't matter if you feel leprous, He desires to touch you. He desires to work with you. He desires to weep with you. He desires to embrace you and heal you and bring you into the Father's house. He's not waiting for you to get it all together. You see, His love for you allows Him to leave the 99 and drop everything to go after you. He'll drop everything to receive you. He'll turn over everything to search for you, to seek you out. His eyes roam to and fro looking for you, looking for that moment where your heart will turn to Him and say, God, I need you in my life. You coming back home is His issue of the most utmost concern. He loves the praise. He loves the worship. He loves the choir. He loves the order of the service. But what He's interested is you coming back home and saying, God, I need you. God, I've come to the end of myself. That's what this is all about. That's what the testimonies are all about. That's what the song's all about. That's why the doors of this church are open, so that you can come back home, so that you can come back to the Father who loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to experience that love. He wants you to understand tonight that his love for you is not based on how far you feel you've gone and how much you think you have to merit being a son of God. The younger brother didn't have it all together. He says, I am no longer worthy to be your son. He was never worthy to be a son. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He says, just call me one of your servants. No, it's not about just being a servant. You are a child of God. He destined you to be his child and to live in fellowship with the Father. That's what his plan has always been, my friends. And he desires to bring you back. He's not asking you to work some great work to earn your way back into the kingdom of God. The older brother didn't have it all together. He thought he had worked enough to earn the position of being a son. And the father was saying, my love for you is not based on how far you feel away from me or how close you think you earned the privilege of being in the kingdom of God. It's based on my love for you. It's based on sonship. The Father loves the Son, and the Son has no reason being away from the Father. The Father embraces the Son. When you come back to him, he restores you. He delights in restoring you to his original plan. This is not plan B. This is what he always intended you to be, his son, to know him, to experience his love, to walk in fellowship with him, to share in the joy of his heart, to exercise authority. He says, bring out a ring, put a ring on his finger. This is not just jewelry. This is the signet ring of the Father. It's the seal of the family. It gives him authority to do business in the name of the Father. God wants to restore authority in your life to be able to say, sin, no longer. Temptation, no longer. Devil, you have no place in my life. I belong to the Father. He wants to give you authority and a testimony to tell others, come, taste and see the goodness of my God. Come and taste and see the glory of his faithfulness, his mercy and his love. Hallelujah. He wants to give you that authority. He wants to put that ring on your finger. He wants to put shoes on your feet and take you to places you never dreamed of going. Like our sister has gone to 11 different mission trip countries that she never dreamed of going. He wants to take you into places of victory, out of your boat, and put your feet on top of waters of impossibility and cause you to walk in the miraculous so that others would say, how is it that you're doing it in such an evil generation? How can you sustain yourself above the lusts and the temptations of this world? And you'll have to point to the Father and say, it's all about his power. It's all about his grace. It's none of me. It's all of him. He wants to clothe you in his righteousness. Bring out the best robe, not just some cheap clothing to cover him. This is the best robe. God has the best plan for you. He's had it throughout all of eternity. He's inviting you to come back to his original plan for you. Don't let the enemy rob you of what God has in store for you. He's always intended you to live in victory, to live in righteousness, his righteousness, not your own, to walk in right fellowship with God, and also to walk in good fellowship with your family. God is calling you back home because there's a family waiting. There's a father waiting, but there's a family waiting for you to come home. We love you tonight. As we stand tonight and as we open up these altars, you can stand. We are inviting you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Father who loves you, who's determined to reach you. Hallelujah. Who drops everything to receive you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And who delights in restoring you. But we're inviting you as a family, as the family of God. This is the biggest lost and found you can find anywhere around this city. We were lost, and now we're found. He died to redeem you. He paid the price so that you can live. As the musicians worship, and as we worship, there's no time to waste. My friends, the world is getting darker and darker. It doesn't matter where you are. God is calling you back home. You may be dodging bullets from club to club, like in St. Louis. Or you may be in upstate New York, listening to the crickets and looking at the fireflies. And just enjoying life. My friends, the invitation is the same. Come back home to the Father's house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, all heaven is breaking out in celebration And there's a party, not just in heaven, there's a party here in our hearts because you've come home. But the enemy would say, who are you to celebrate? You can't join in the celebration. You know what you've done. You know how you've lived. Just like the older brother was accusing this younger brother of wasting his life. How dare he celebrate? How dare he go into the Father's house and begin to jump and dance and raise his hands? Who does he think he is? And the devil will tell you that. The enemy will tell you that. You can't enter in. You can't experience the joy. My friends, the joy and the celebration doesn't depend on how well we've lived our life. We're not celebrating because we've been good. We're celebrating because he is good. We're celebrating because of what he did for us. I'm telling you, I was dirty, I was sick, I was under bondage. God broke the chains in my life. I've got a reason to praise him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I was a hypocrite. I was one thing on the outside, another thing on the inside, and God received me into his family. He broke the chains. He gave me a new mind, a new heart. I've got a reason to praise him. That's your reason to celebrate tonight. His mercy, not your merit. Not what you've done, not how good you've been, or how awesome you plan on living your life from now on, and the promises you make to God. My friends, it's not about that. It's about his faithfulness to you, his mercy, his kindness, his grace, to receive you just like you are, to receive you as you are. Praise God. When I came here, just like you coming tonight, years ago, I came forward, and they said, if you're here for the first time, raise your hand, and I raised my hand, and I had been raised in church, born and raised in church. So that night I came to church in my Sunday best, like our brother was saying, down in St. Louis. And but God called me that night. I knew I was a mess inside, dead man's bones inside, a whitewashed tomb. And then they sent me downstairs to pray, to some prayer partners that were down there to pray for us. And when I went down there, they didn't know I was down there for prayer. I guess they saw me in a suit and they thought I was one of the counselors down there. And I said, no, I'm here for prayer. I'm here for prayer. So God knows. God knows. You could be in church all your life and not know him, not know and enjoy the Father's fellowship. And tonight God is calling you back home, regardless of whether you've been in church all your life or you don't even know what you're doing here tonight. He's calling you back home. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I thank you for inviting them. I thank you for reaching out to them. I thank you for knocking on the doors of their hearts. God, I thank you for orchestrating their steps to come to you. And God, I just pray that you confirm the joy of your heart to their hearts tonight. God, confirm the joy, the delight that you have over them. Not because of how well they've lived, but because of how much you love them. God, confirm your love to them tonight. Let them leave tonight with such an assurance that you love them. Break every chain, break every bondage, dear God. Rebuke every enemy of their soul. Set them free tonight to live for you. Set them free to run and dance for you. Set them free, dear God, to serve you. Set them free to testify of the goodness of God. Set them free, dear God. Give them a testimony that they could look back to the night and say, I was like this, but God set me free that night. God brought me back home that night. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. 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 We give you the praise. We give you the praise.